left the drama kid, let the drama kid die. Left the drama kid, let the drama kid die. Let the drama kid, let the drama kid die. Let the drama kid, let the drama kid die. Let the drama kid, let the drama kid die. Let the drama kid, let the drama kid die. Let the drama kid, let the drama kid die.
Yo, it's the Big Three Rollout. It's your boy, Silk.
It's Kevin.
And Joshua.
What's going on, baby? How y'all feeling?
I'm feeling good, bro. How you feeling? How you feeling, Josh?
I'm vibing.
I'd like to say I'm vibing. I'd like to.
I think you're vibing.
Started that sassy shit early now.
Yo, hey. What y'all think about the college football playoff rankings came out last night, man? We're doing this one on Wednesday, so they came out on, what, Halloween?
Yeah.
How y'all like that? Y'all like Georgia at one?
No, I like Alabama.
I like Alabama at one. You gotta respect the throne a little bit right there, dog. Like, I don't know who doing these voting and shit, how they do this shit, but you can't, until you knock out the big dog, man, you can't just get Georgia to nod like that, bro.
They got some big games that they won.
That shit real Tuscaloosa, baby.
Yeah, I agree. I think Georgia's had an excellent season, but I'm not.
They derailed y'all whole shit.
Yeah, that shit was looking all good before that fucking game against them boys.
Oh, Kev, we got some breaking news into the podcast.
What's going on?
Arthur Sitkowski just flipped to Rutgers. Sorry.
Oh shit.
Sorry, Kev.
Shit. Fuck around, let Unk be right around this bitch. Fuck going on, Kev?
Hey. I'm just glad I don't got to lie about that shit no more. That shit's a big load off my plate, man. You don't know how hard that shit was.
So fuck you're it. Carrying a burden?
The motherfucker. Dog, he don't start with high school team, dog. I had to spit that shit every week. That's a big weight off my shoulders.
Hey, yo, man, I think I need an apology. Hey, go back to the old show. I think Bert said, hey, listen, if Silk's right, you come back on the show. He said, Cam Underwood, come back on the show and apologize, dog. I think I should get an apology, bro. What's going on?
Oh, that was one of those epic shows where you and Cam got, and he was so mad at you. Cam Underwood, what site is he on?
I don't even know it, but
not Kane Insight. Kane,
what do you call it? It's great value, Kane Insight.
He works for one of those independent Kane sites, and he was so mad at Silk for putting in a crystal ball for Rutgers for Sitkowski. He came on the show and got in your face.
He didn't get in my face now. That shit.
I kind of got in your face.
No, he didn't get in his face.
I think he was at least putting his finger in your chest.
Definitely in that. No fingers got touched, bro. All
right, this is besides the point. Shit, bro. Yeah, this is besides the point. That's besides the fucking point.
We broke up.
We don't do that shit no more, dog. We only beef with and then you gotta have about 40,000 followers or up for us to beef with you.
Hey, TJ, produce, nigga. I need my apology, bro. Appreciate it.
Yeah, get Cam on next week. We'll talk about this. Yeah, so
we out here, dog. We out here doing like big flips and shit, baby. Big cushion in the L, big flips going down, Bird.
We are out here. I agree. So anyway, Florida State lost by 30 to Boston College. What'd you guys do this weekend?
Watch that shit, man.
Yeah, you skimmed over that shit, didn't you? He glossed over that shit.
Yeah, but hold on. Like, I wasn't even home. Like, it was Friday night, and, you know, I was at home. I was
that shit was glorious.
Game. Yeah, I was at a high school game, dog, watching that shit. And then,
me too. I was at Florida State High.
And then I seen this shit on the timeline. Dog. I had to come home and see what the fuck was going on. Dog, Adazio ran up the check on him, dog. You know what Baby's going to do this week?
Ran up a check.
Great value, Garnet and Gold.
And that's the real Garnet Gold now, bro, until you fucking prove otherwise.
Nah, that's
all. Y'all let Doug Flutie you run up a check. Doug Flutie you now. I ain't talking about no big boy shit. Doug Flutie you. Some embarrassing shit, bro. You really, no. Only thing stopping y'all from leaving the big three is, like, us being able to take UCF and USF coaches. Right now, y'all shouldn't be able to shit.
Well, you still got to beat FSU. They're still
we did.
Oh, that's it. Oh, yeah, we're going to win. Randy about to leave
the game.
Check. What else? Oh, beat FSU? Hey, beat FSU?
Kevin, let me show me your phone.
Hey, here we go. Beat FSU, check.
Talking shit, bro.
Hey, Kev, when's the last time you watched FSU get beat by Miami, like in person? How many years ago now?
Ooh, it's been quite some time.
Damn.
But here.
That's a more-ass victory right there, though, bro.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's kinda... just terrible.
Oh, I didn't say, I'm just asking a simple question.
What?
Burkett's
a little sassy. Simple question.
You've been thinking about that question, though.
You're going to say that I'm being sassy.
Hey, when's the last time you saw FSU beat Boston College live?
I haven't ever. Probably when I was a student there.
When you were a student, didn't
matter. I don't go to games, Kev. I don't like to go to games. I don't.
Y'all lost to a team that's the birthplace of Benzino. You know that shit?
Oh.
That's some embarrassing shit, bro. A football game. They're playing on the hockey field. Yeah. Shit crazy to me, bro.
All right, Silk, how much of the UGA-UF game did you end up watching?
You got to at least lose to a goddamn football state. The motherfuckers is in Boston, bro. They play no football up there, dog. All they recruits is out of state. How you lose that shit? One star with a high ceiling, bird. Y'all five-star you. That's what the FSU stand for.
I've had my head. I've been just reading resumes for Jimbo. That's all I've been doing.
You need to fucking fight.
Might even fire your goddamn self, dog. You missing on recruits and shit. Like,
hey, I get no props for breaking news this week. You guys can't even, no shout outs, no nothing.
You didn't break the coach fight. Who broke the coach fight?
Man, what coach fight? There was no coach
fight. Oh, no, dog. Y'all shooting fades in the locker room, bro. That's what I heard. It was streets saying. Streets.
No, that's not true. But we did.
TJ streets. TJ.
On Knowles 24/7, we had the fact that Randy Sanders is likely not going to return, so that opens up the QB job most likely as soon as the season ends for Florida State. We'll see. Damian Craig, maybe?
Quick question, though. Don't y'all got a position y'all need to fill anyway?
Yeah. Like
the extra spot?
10th coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. Why fire him? The quarterback coach.
They didn't fire him. I mean, he interviewed for the Jacksonville Jags QB job last January. We reported that. So it's no secret that, you know, I mean, he has no ties to Florida State. He's been here 4 years. Being the QB coach.
Did he quit? Hold on, bro. Are you going through your goddamn press that Jimbo gave you?
I don't think
he did. Did he quit? Did he get fired? Did he quit? Something happened.
I don't consider it a firing. I would not consider. I would consider it more of him leaving the team, leaving the program.
He quit.
But I think it's mutual. I mean, I think if he wanted to come back, I don't think he'd have a contract. So
I feel him. Get off that bitch before it sink, bro. That shit going down.
A lot of these coaches, if you don't have ties to the program, and you do some time sinking, there, bro. And it expires, and then you move on.
I feel you, bro. That shit's sinking, though.
Talking about sinking, did you go to Jacksonville for the game?
We played a game this weekend? I thought we had a bye week.
No. You got the doors beat in by Georgia.
The number one team in the country, though.
I'm sure the Kush was too good. And you're just a fan.
However you look at it, bro, I got a coach coming in the building, baby.
Here comes Barry Sanders. Kev,
I got a coach, baby. Goddamn right. I'm going to spin my way up out that hole. I got a coach coming, baby.
It's never good to take a blowout loss to your rival, though.
I don't never. God damn, bro. I got a coach coming.
Never.
I watched that game with Big Kush in the L. Y'all already know.
Just being a fan.
Just being a fan, cheering. Mm-hmm. And, hey, Bird.
You did your part.
Let me do my spill, dog. I don't need you cutting all this shit.
Hit them all.
I don't need you cutting. You just do the sassy shit. Don't do none of the silk shit. You know what I'm saying? I was just being a fan, cheering, did my best, did my part. But all the time I was doing all my part as a fan. Big cushion L. Gotta have big cushion L. All the time I was doing, I had in the back of my mind, I was like, this motherfucker, this is his last hoorah. No more gold grills in the swamp, baby. We're getting his ass up out of here. It didn't matter if he won that motherfucker. He was still gone. Like, before the game, I was like, if this nigga wins.
You told us in the DMs. You did.
He gone.
I got you back on that. You did tell us that in the DMs. You said, watch this. He's up out of here either way. You said that for the weekend.
Get his ass up out of here.
Would he have been out of there the next day, though? Or just...
Yeah, that shit was going down. Sunday
he was going down on Sunday no matter what.
Yeah, no matter what. That shit was going down. Yeah.
All right. Well, we got a huge show coming up today. We got three guests. Yeah, we got three guests.
We got four, dog.
Oh, we got four?
Yeah, we got four, bro.
Jeez. Oh, we do. We got
your good friend. We got my good friend. We got five, and we got Kellen Winslow.
All right, so we got Kellen Winslow
Jr. That's a loaded show, dog.
Santana Moss on the show.
That's what keep us out here.
Jacquez Green on the show.
And then
we got my friend, who y'all don't believe I have friends, but we got my friend Ryan Bassett.
No friends.
To talk about this.
That nigga is not your friend. I never heard of this guy before in my life.
I got
friends. Only way I found out about this, man, is me surfing on Twitter with Scott Frost and shit, and I seen his shit.
What? Do you want all my contacts to know who?
No, I asked you if you could get the guy on. You act like you even know him, bro. That's not your friend, bro.
No, we said, hey, let's get the 247 UCF. Berg says, I don't think they have one.
I did not say that. TJ has said that, bro.
You did say that. I promise you, you said that.
All right, well, let's get Kev's future friend on, Kellen Winslow. Y'all ready?
Let's go. What do you tell people about me? You tell them we friends, bro?
I don't know how
I feel about this shit, bro. Are we friends?
No, we're on a show together.
Yeah.
We're business partners. That's what I tell them.
That's what I say, too. Like, damn right, I ain't got no goddamn Jewish friends.
Yeah, I don't say shit. At times. Act like Berg ain't even on this motherfucker.
That's because everybody on the mowers is too busy. They don't care about me. All right, Kellen Winslow up next. Let's do it.
That's right, baby.
We're out here.
Yo, so we got our first guest of the night. We got a big three goat. We got Kellen Winslow Jr. on the phone, man. Hey, Kellen, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. Just staying active, keeping myself in shape, and that's about it.
There you go, man. Hey, so I just jump right into it, man. Have you been paying attention to the program, to Miami, since you've been gone?
Yeah, for sure. I always keep up with them. Always. They're doing good.
So last night the college football playoff came out. They came in at 10. They're undefeated, but they have 5 1-loss teams ahead of them. Do you think that's a fair ranking, or do you think that they were overlooked a little bit?
You know, from my assessment, man, they've just been they're undefeated at the moment, but they've just kind of been, you know, kind of just skating by teams,
mm-hmm.
and not kind of dominating the team points wise. So I don't pay too much attention to the polls and all that, but, I mean, at least they're in the top 10.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so this week they got a chance to really jump on the national scene. Saturday night, prime time, Virginia Tech's become a pretty big rivalry of Miami's over the last few years. How do you feel going into this game against Virginia Tech?
Yeah, Virginia Tech always brings special teams to the – equation. They've always played Miami hard, and where they get over on teams is their special teams, so you always got to watch out for them on that. But other than that, it's going to be a great game.
Hey, Kellen, Josh Newberg here. I wondered this. You sat behind your freshman year, you sat behind one of the greats in Jeremy Shockey. What's something he taught you that you always remember?
You know, just to be a tough dude, man. You know, Shockey was like my big brother. I mean, it's like my big brother. So he just always kept me on my toes and how to just be a little tougher, I guess. And I mean, I was always tough, you know, but just because I came in at 18 years old or however old I was, so it took me some years to develop into my physical form. And I mean, there's so many numerous things I can name that he taught me, but he just taught me to be tougher.
Mm-hmm. And you were in that 01 locker room. What does a championship locker room feel like? You know, what's a characteristic or some of the characteristics of a championship locker room?
Yeah. So that 01 team, man, there will never be another team like that 01 team, first off.
Right. Yeah, shit was real. It was real.
We were just stacked. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't compare any other team to that team, but a championship locker room has leaders in the locker room, you know, guys that have led and sweated for each other and put the work in the off season, execution and during the season. And then you have playmakers, you know, you got to have a good coach. It's really just across the board, but you definitely need vocal leaders and guys that lead by example.
Hey, Kellen, it's Silk, man. I'm the Gator guy on the show. How you doing, man?
How you doing? Good, man.
All right. Now, with your dad, you grew up with your dad played in the league. With your dad being an NFL guy, did that make life easier for you or harder for you with the expectations?
Well, harder because, you know, I'm always, you know, ever since I was little, I was going to be compared to him. And the fact that I wanted to play football, it made it even, you know, it made it 10 times more difficult. I expected it out of myself to be a great player. And, you know, I accepted that challenge and I wanted to be a great player. I love the game. And, I mean, I'm all ball, man. So, you know, it's like.
Now going back, let me just ask you a quick question about that whole dynamic. Now going back, did he push you, or was it a thing on you had to do on your own, or was he kind of pushing you and trying to make you a better athlete, or it was just he knew you had it, he kind of sat back and watched things happen?
Yeah, he knew I had it and kind of sat back and watched things happen. I mean, he put me in other sports because he knew I wanted to play football so badly ever since a young age. He didn't let me play tackle football until I was 13.
Dope. Okay.
You know, and he wanted to hold me back even longer, which I actually agree with now. I don't agree with youth football, youth tackle football, because.
Really.
And not to say anything against that, people who put their kids in tackle football at a young age, but I just feel like their bodies aren't developed yet.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And the hits that are going on, it's just not, they're not ready. So,
nope.
My dad put me in soccer, he put me in basketball, he put me in baseball. I always had a football in my hand, but, you know, it was just like flag football and, you know, stuff like that to work on my agility. And,
I didn't know at the time, but
that's what he was doing.
Was there any chance you was going to play anything other than tight end?
Well, I always wanted to play wideout. I always wanted to play wideout like Jerry Rice, and I always wanted to be like Jerry Rice, man. Jerry Rice is my guy. For a little bit there, I thought I might have been playing basketball. Just wasn't tall enough. You know, if I was like 6'7", 6'8", maybe I would have gone and played basketball. But, yeah, man, I just started to fill out as a senior in high school, and definitely my freshman year of college, I started to fill out. And I was like 235 my sophomore year of college. So I was like, man, I was just begging them to put me inside at tight end because I knew it would just be easier than going against the corners all the time. And once you get the skills outside in, it's – it just makes it that much easier.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know.
Kellen, I want to talk to you about another rivalry that you played in, and that was the Florida State-Miami rivalry. I was a student at Florida State from 2000 to 2005. So, like, you and I are, like, pretty much the same age. And
okay.
So I had a much different perspective than you, but I was fully involved in those rivalry games. And I remember you battling with Ernie Sims. You know, you would beat him, and he had some big hits on you. And, man, we hated you. Like, we really hated you in that moment. I don't hate you anymore. I don't hate you anymore. But, like, you were the villain. Like, did you feel that? Did you feed off that energy? What was that like to know that you were, like, the most hated player on the field?
I was the most hated guy.
I think so. I think so. I mean, I'm coming from the...
Why me, man?
Just the way that you played.
Because he was a soldier, bro.
Played and the whole, I'm a soldier. And I mean, it was great, man. Coming from, like, being a fan, like, that's what you want. You know, you want it to be involved like that. And you were involved in it. Right. So, like, what was that like for you in that moment? I'm not saying we're like that anymore.
No, I get it, man. Like, you know, if I was on your team, you would have loved me. But it's
yeah, we loved you. Hey, we loved you, baby.
Loved
hey,
the hate.
We loved you.
I get it. You know what, man? Like, I didn't really know what the Florida State, you know, being from San Diego, I didn't really know what the Miami Florida State rivalry really was until I got there when we played Florida State, and I was on the kickoff team, and I got straight blasted on a kickoff return running down the middle. And then I realized what it was. I was like, oh, okay, this is real.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay. This is what we came here for. Okay, this is what I came here for. So then I saw the gameplay. I was a freshman. I wasn't playing any. So I got to appreciate, you know, the rivalry. And,
right.
You know, I just with the Seminole coming out, you know, throwing the arrow down and all that. Like, I used to love playing at Florida State. And,
yeah, that Chico be wild.
Forget, man. Yeah, it's like, it's hype, man. It's hype.
Yeah.
And there's nothing else like it. There's nothing else like it. There's no rivalry like it. And it'll be like that forever.
I agree.
Memories I'll never forget.
Hey, so where'd you watch the Canes break the streak at this year? Did you watch the game? The Miami FSU game?
You said what? Yeah, I watched it.
What was the, did you expect it? What'd you think of that catch by Darrell Langham? I mean, that was a crazy game, huh?
Yeah, in the end zone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, from like the five. Yeah. He did good.
Come on, you're killing me. Like, I really don't want to
actually recall. Actually, number 81, too.
Yeah, 81. Yeah.
Yeah, he did good, man. That was a great catch in the back, in the front of the end zone. And, you know, it was a 50-50 ball, and he made the play, man.
Hey, so something I asked.
I'm surprised he didn't come down to a field goal, though.
Oh, wide right, right?
Would have went wide right.
Yeah.
Would have went wide right.
Or blocked.
Hey, so, Kellen, something I've asked other Canes guests we've had on, Santana, Pat Buchanan, DeMarcus Van Dyke. Give us a Green Tree story, man, because they said the practices were harder than the games. Give us a Green Tree story, man, a battle on the practice field.
Oh, man, there's so many. There's too many, man. A Green Tree story. You know what? I don't know. The most fun we used to have was on Fridays. You know, we would just be in shorts and shirts, but it would be like, you know, 15 on 15, but Vince Wilford was like the quarterback, or Roscoe Parrish was the running back, or, you know, Sean Taylor would go to wide receiver. I might play quarterback for a little bit. So I think Fridays were like our funnest day before the game. Because it was just like sandlot football. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We had no plays. It was just like athletes on athletes. Let's go. You know what it is. And, I mean, that was the most fun to me, I think, on Fridays before the game.
Hey, so, Kellen, do you follow the last tight end that left out of Miami, Njoku?
Yeah, I follow him.
Do you think he's a better athlete than what you were coming out? And what's your opinion about him?
Well, he's a very athletic kid. Very athletic, man. I mean, he could jump out the gym. I mean, and he's still a puppy. He's still growing. I think
was he a better tight? Player. Was he a better tight end than you? I gotta get a little personal. Was he a better tight end than you?
Man, that's not for me to answer. That's up to y'all. You know. but I had a chance to visit with him when he was a freshman, and he looked the same way as he does now. And I was like, "Damn, who's this dude?" So I knew he was going to be special. He has the body type of like a Shannon Sharp. You know, he's just built like that. I mean, dude's sculpted, man. I mean, so you know,
is there anybody
those guys like that?
Is there anybody else that can stake claim to the tight end you?
Hell no.
I don't think so. I mean, it doesn't even really come close, really.
no.
I mean, it just doesn't, you know?
No.
Hey, Kyle, I was going to ask you, man, from San Diego, how did you end up in Miami?
Yeah, man, I wanted to know that, too. I was going to ask that.
You came at the same time as DJ Williams, too, right? You guys were riding around together.
Yeah, yeah. DJ came out of California too, De La Salle. So, you know, Curtis Johnson was the wide receivers coach who was recruiting me out here. And I didn't know anything about Miami. You know, I was all about, like, Michigan and UCLA and USC. And I knew about Ohio State, but I really wanted – I wanted to go to Michigan because of Charles Woodson and wear those colors. So, but, you know, UCLA was really heavily recruiting me. USC was also. But then I just took a visit to Miami, and I was like, dang, man, I really like it here. It's hella hot, but feeling the vibe out here, you know.
Who had the best holes, Kellen? Kellen, who had the best holes, man? Got to ask.
I mean, it's inappropriate, but it is a valid question.
We got to ask, bro.
California, Florida.
I ain't got to say. I mean, it's different. It's different. You know what I'm
it's
saying?
It's definitely like, different.
It's different. You're going to get, like, you're going to get the wifey thing, like, in Cali. But in Miami, you're going to get, like, the exotic look. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
It's a lot different, man. You know, you're going to get a lot more variety in Miami.
Now, how was y'all club? Like, now I know it's a little different. These guys can't jump the line at clubs and get into club live and things like that in Miami. How was it like when you guys was at University of Miami? Was it popping like that? Well, I know it was popping, but I want you to explain it.
Yeah, it was, man. It really was, dog. Like, you know, you ball, you get the call.
There you go. You ball,
you get the call. But you know what, man? Like, Brian McKinney was our ticket in, really. I mean, all we had to do was
still the ticket down there. He's still the ticket down there. Yeah.
I mean, he probably still wearing shorts and sandals and all
that. Boy, I seen him at Club 11 like a year ago. Still out here getting it.
Yeah. So, exactly. Like, all we had to do was walk behind Big Mac. Like, where Big Mac at? All right, cause we in. Because who's going to mess with Big Mac? And who's not going to let him in, you know?
Yeah, from that era, though, who's getting the most? Who had the most chicks?
Who had the most chicks? Man, I would say Antrell Roll, I guess.
Okay. I can see that. I can see that.
You know those DBs can
Trelly,
talk.
Trelly was a ladies' man.
Okay.
You know me, I was on lockdown, so.
Oh, you wiped up. You still with her?
Yeah, that's my wife.
Oh, okay. Good job.
I was gonna ask if you cheated, but I can't ask that now.
Don't ask that. Yeah, man. I've been with the same girl since I was 13.
Oh, that's dope, man.
So I was wiped up, man. But yeah, I would say Shirley Trail was a ladies' man down there.
That's what's up.
So, do you think having a wife through all that? Do you think that you know? Really kept you in line, or were you just focused so much on your career? Did she play a big part in that too?
Oh, big time, man. I mean, that was the plan from the get-go. She knew what my, you know, dreams and aspirations were.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, she came out there with me from San Diego. You know, she dropped what she had going on at
That's dope.
College and all that. And, you know, I mean, she's a very smart lady.
Yeah.
you know, she has scholarships from UCLA and stuff like that. But we knew we were going to be together, man, and that was going to be my wife. And, like, she got my back. You know, she's ride or die, you know what I mean? And there ain't too many of those floating around. So she had a big part, huge part. I mean, I couldn't have made it without her, straight up.
Yeah, now, but during your career, I mean, you said and did some crazy shit. So, like, when you would go off or something, like, what was her reaction? Would she just let you do your thing, or would she kind of sit you down and be like, you know, we got to do better next time? Like, what was her reaction throughout your career to the things that you did?
Well, like what? Give me an instance.
Oh, I mean, just like in college, like going off like with the I'm a soldier thing. And, you know, would she, when you would do stuff or getting in beefs, or would she kind of like help you guide through it? Or would she just leave you pretty much to yourself and let you figure it out?
Well, the whole college thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was blown way out of proportion, man. I mean, I'm 19 years old. I was 19 years old, and you getting on a 19-year-old about that whole situation. Like, it's just ridiculous. I mean, you know, we can laugh about it now, and it's funny and all that, but...
Sure.
Man, I was 19, man.
Yeah, and they were taking it out of context, talking about veterans and shit like that. That's
yeah, that was wild. Like,
I don't know nothing about that. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
You're getting that. You were... Yeah, you had a soldier mentality on the field, man. We knew what you were
saying. Man, everybody compares football to war and
battle, the war.
I mean, everybody, man. You know what I mean? It's
but, like, just to fucking somebody up in general.
Yeah, exactly.
I got another question for you, man. Yeah. Growing up with a father that's from the NFL and with money, the kids like take you for being like soft or something like that because you come from an NFL dad.
Or like
yeah, you know, with a silver spoon in my mouth and stuff like
right.
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I had to. You know, I didn't always grow up rough. I mean, I didn't grow up in the projects and stuff like that. But I did live with my mom sometimes, and I mean
that was rough, huh?
You know, I did live with my mom. It was rougher. You know, I mean, it wasn't.
I got you, bro.
It wasn't like that bad, but it was like. Hey, I know about the other side too.
Yeah.
You know, I struggled a little bit with my mom, and my mom had to work and all that. I mean, I had a great family. I have a great family, but I know about the other side too. So I didn't always live with my dad. So yeah, man, I know about both sides, and I think I get my character from that. And I guess you could say though that, you know, guys took me for being soft and, you know, he's privileged and stuff like that. So I had to, but you can't worry about that stuff, man. Oh, you know, ball is ball. Like, let's play football. Like,
that's right. I was all, talk that shit.
I was always playing and, you know, you always got to prove yourself. So.
Yep.
Hey, you still riding your bicycle, man? I ride a bicycle, man. I cycle a little bit. And I know you used to ride your bicycle around for exercise and you got
good,
real
good.
Stuff.
Yeah,
I just lost like
50
pounds
then.
On that shit.
There you go. There you go. Stay on it, man.
I
do it every now and then. I'm mostly just focused on. I'm trying to return to the league. I've been trying to return to the league, so I'm just focused on.
Where?
Football stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Where are you working out at? California.
Yeah, I'm just working out in San Diego. I just train myself, man.
Okay, nice.
What's your 40 myself. Right now?
Yeah, what are we clocking in at?
What's my 40?
Yeah, what's your 40 right now?
Man, I might be able to give you a 4.7.
Shit.
How old you is, Kelly?
Good.
Huh?
Damn good.
How old you is, bro?
34.
Oh, shit, I'm going to have to clock you, bro. I'm going to have to clock you, dog.
Hey, ain't too many
NFL tight end running 4.7 right now, bro. I might have to come out there and clock you.
Hey, Kelly, go over to USC.
Yeah, even if it's a 4.8, even if it's a 4.8.
That's still
a fire. That's
you know what I'm saying?
Fire.
Okay, so what does Jason Witten run?
5 flat.
What does Jason Witten run in the 40?
5 flat.
About 2 days, about 24 hours. Wow.
Exactly. So that whole 40 time don't mean nothing.
How does Witten I think you're more athletic than Witten right now, off the couch. How does he have a job and you don't?
You know what, man? I mean, Witten's a great player. Witten's a smart player, a savvy veteran. You know what I'm saying? Like he,
yeah, hell yeah,
yeah, savvy veteran.
He's a gym rat.
You know what I'm saying? He's with a great organization.
He's a grinder.
He got drafted to a great organization.
Yeah.
He's a heady football player.
Straight up, he got lucky. He got lucky being drafted by the Cowboys and.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, Browns didn't really win the best thing.
Yeah, so, you know, it just falls into, you know, you could say the same thing about, like, why doesn't RG3 have a job and why does Mark Sanchez have a job? You know what I'm saying? So it's.
Yeah.
Did you cringe when Duke Johnson got drafted by the Browns?
When. And Njoku got drafted by the Browns?
No. Well, yeah. Definitely him.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when Njoku and Duke get drafted, like, do you just kind of cringe when it's the Browns? I mean, I know you're happy for them and all that, but, like, you know what I'm saying.
I mean, I know, man. It's, I mean, you know, a spade is a spade, you know? Like, was I the happiest when I got drafted to Cleveland, being from San Diego and then going to Miami to Cleveland? Like, no. I wasn't, man, but you can't control that. I should have pulled a Eli Manning on him.
Yeah, well,
I
should have pulled an Eli Manning on him, man. Like straight up, like Eli Looking Manning. Back, was like, no, I ain't going to the Chargers. I'm not going to the Chargers. Like, no, I'm not going.
Yeah, y'all can draft.
I could get something going a little more. Huh?
Yeah, Eli told him you could draft me if you want to, but I ain't showing up, bitch. You might as well just
yeah. So, I mean, it is what it is, though. I had some good years in Cleveland.
Yeah, you did.
Had some stuff going on in Cleveland also, but I got hurt there on the motorcycle accident.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I had some good years there, man, and I love the fans there. You know, some of the best fans in the world, man. They're loyal no matter what, you know, if they're winning or not.
Well, because they're usually not. So.
yeah, usually
a lot of
not.
It's a lot of more not.
You know what, though? They got the right coach.
Right.
They got the right head coach in place. They got the right head coach in place, so they need to stick. They just need to stick with somebody. They need to stick with Hugh Jackson. He's the guy for the job. They just gotta keep building, man. Like keep building. Like they can't. They just can't keep cleaning house every other year and expect to progress. That's the problem with the Browns.
I agree, man. All right. Well, before we let you go, let's just get a prediction for this upcoming Virginia Tech game, man. It's a big one. So how do you think this one plays out for the Canes?
I think it's going to be a close game. Like, you know, the Canes games have been real close. I think the Virginia Tech is going to make some special teams plays, like they always do. But I think the Canes can beat them out. I'm going to say by 3 points.
Close game. All right. So Kev's going to sweat this one out.
We're going to sweat it out again.
Not good news for Kev. He's been sweating.
Hey, Kelly, y'all about to lose, bro.
Nah, Kelly, we ain't losing. Hey, Kelly, hey, man. Hey, we really appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah.
It's been
I appreciate fun. You having me. All
right, man. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Good luck.
All right, y'all.
Hope everything goes well for all us.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, go. Hold it down, man. Pretty fucking dope, man. Kelly Winslow.
Well. Yeah, that shit went well, dog.
I'm gonna follow Kelly Winslow.
Dog, how the fuck does Kelly Winslow got a fucking assistant, though, dog? You gotta call the assistant and then
she got money, bro. What the fuck you talking about?
Bitch, we had Griffey, dog. We had a direct line to Griffey.
Well, Griffey ain't. Because like,
that's my boy.
Nah, but this is the thing, though. Kelly Winslow down in Miami, dog. He uses, you know what I'm saying, the fuck shit. So, Griffey wholesome, dog.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that makes sense.
If I get rich, dog, I'm talking about if I just get like $800,000.
Hey, you think Collins gonna get back in the league?
Oh man,
I think he should get a shot. Shit. If you run a full
tight ends going down, like everybody's getting injured and shit. Like,
no, what about this shit though? What if we go viral? Kellen Winslow says that he'd be in the league if he was lucky like Jason Witten.
That'd be fire. I thought he was about to run down all the like the white people fucking.
Yeah, he was
draft shit. That's what he was heading down that road. To Kev thought like spewing his shit.
He's not a, he's a football guy.
Yeah, he's a very heady player. He's a coach's son.
When Kev said Jim Rat, he pulled out. He's like, yeah, they're on to me.
They know I'm just naming white characteristics.
Oh shit!
Abort! Abort! man. All right, hey, let's talk some Gator coaching changes. We got my good friend Ryan Bass coming on the show. He covers UCF. He works.
That man is not your friend, bro.
He says my good friend. You didn't remember his name just now. I can look. I can see him looking on his computer to get his name and shit. He's like my good friend.
My friend Ryan Bass.
Is that Bass or Bass?
All right, let's get my buddy on the other side. Let's get him on.
That's right, man.
Ever since me and Santana became good friends, Berg's trying to fucking have everyone be his friend now.
I'm not out here lying. We're friends. I think we're friends.
I'm gonna ask his motherfucking ass. I'm sorry.
All right, we got our second guest on the show, Ryan Bass from CBS, and also writes for the UCF 247 site. Ryan, how's it going, man?
Good, brother. How are you, man?
We vibing big over here, man. we brought you on for the big elephant in the room, man. Florida. I represent Florida on the show, man, so I got to talk about the Gators. We're having a coaching search, man. And your coach is number one on the list, according to what I know. What are you hearing for Scott Frost?
I've heard the same. Scott Frost is the top candidate for the University of Florida right now. And look, Scott Strickland basically said in his press conference the other day that he's aware of what the fan base wants. He's aware of the obvious names out there. And certainly he is very much in touch with who the desirable candidate is for most of Gator Nation. And I think if you polled, you know, 100 people, I would say it'd be more than 70% would be in favor of Scott Frost being the head coach. And so I've heard that, that he is the top target. I've heard that they have contacted Scott's representatives, his agent. Scott himself has not been in contact with Scott Strickland, but I have heard that his representatives have. And Scott is certainly interested. I've heard that, that he does have interest in the job. It remains to be seen whether or not he leaves UCF. You know, obviously it's very hard to turn down a job like the University of Florida, and they could certainly, you know, double his salary. However, you know, he is committed to where he's at right now. And he had, you know, he feels a commitment to some of the guys he's brought in, you know, recruiting wise. And, you know, he feels like he's building a winner and he's building a sort of tradition here at UCF. So yeah, I've heard that Frost is their top target as well.
Hey, Bass, I hate to inform you on this, man. All that sounded great, but after we take your coach, when do you think he leaves? You think he leaves before the end of the season, or do you think he waits for a bowl game?
If there is an agreement in place and if Scott Frost does agree to become the Gators' next head coach, I think he leaves after the bowl game. I know that, you know, there is an early signing period this year, and I know that, you know, he'll want to get a jump start on recruiting. But, you know, he – to me, I don't see how he doesn't lead his guys out there if this team does, in fact, you know, become the Group of Five champion and make it to the Peach Bowl. I don't see how Frost isn't on the sidelines for that game. So he may be recruiting for Florida on the side, but I would not be surprised if he does, unless it's a staff member of his. Unless, you know, Eric Chenander or Troy Walters or somebody like that is promoted to head coach, I think Scott Frost would be the guy that would run out there with his boys in the bowl game.
If we were to land this coach, if he's coming to Florida, what are we getting in Scott Frost? What do you think Florida's getting?
I think right when you listen to Scott Frost, I mean, he is such an incredibly intelligent guy. You know, he certainly is he's well-vested and well-ventured in offense and college football. You get a guy who, you know, was originally at Stanford and, you know, then moved over to Nebraska, won a national championship in Nebraska. You know, from a coaching standpoint, you're getting somebody who's extremely well liked by his players, well respected by his coaching staff. You know, somebody who, you know, is beloved by the administration and the fan base. You know, Scott Frost is, to me, you know, could not have been a more perfect candidate for UCF to hire. You know, he brings a style of offense that's fun to watch. UCF right now is the highest scoring offense in the country at 51 points per game. He is polished. He is quick-witted. He is even-keeled. You know, he's everything you would want in a head coach. So he certainly fits the bill for what would probably and absolutely would, you know, energize the fan base there in Florida, and somebody who, unlike Jim McElwain, I think would actually have success running a high-powered offense in the Swamp.
Gotcha, man. All right, we'll go ahead and pass it on. I don't know if Newberg or anybody else got any questions. Y'all got any questions for Ryan?
Yeah, I got something. Ryan Bass, how you doing?
Oh, my boy, Josh. I was wondering when I'd hear your voice.
Y'all friends?
What's up, buddy?
Hold on. Y'all friends in real life?
Yeah. Ryan, tell me like we're friends. Ryan,
I mean, I mean, you kind of stiff me every once in a while downtown.
Tell him. Yeah, he does that shit. Yeah,
tell
he does that.
They don't believe that I have any friends. I don't.
He does that to us too. Don't worry. He does that every
Ryan,
every time
ever
we
had
try
a drink
to get together.
I've had more than a couple with Josh. Yes.
I think like 5 or 6 years ago, I spent a night on his couch after.
Wow, this is getting weird. More than five or six drinks, you on his couch,
bro. I said his couch. All right. I don't know.
I can confirm that report.
When you say Scott Frost is committed to UCF, like what kind of committed do you mean? Like, do you mean he's committed because he hasn't been offered by Florida, or do you mean he's committed because if he gets offered by Florida, he's still going to remain at UCF?
Here's what I mean. Frost is somebody who is not driven by money. And I mean that wholeheartedly. There are a lot of coaches out there who will see, you know, a million or $2 million pay raise and say, how could I pass that up? Frost is somebody who's not necessarily driven by finances. I mean, he makes $2 million now from UCF, and they're trying to bump his salary up $500,000, $1 million more. You know, at Florida, obviously, he can make Jim McElwain type money, $4.5 million, maybe even $5 million. But that's just not what motivates him. He's somebody who, you know, is committed to a plan and committed to, you know, his word and building up, you know, what he started here at UCF.
So you're telling me that if Florida offers him double his pay and to come be the head coach of the Florida Gators, he's going to stay at UCF?
I don't. Well, here. All right. Here's the caveat.
Wait, I'm just trying to figure out what committed means.
Let me say this.
Respect my decision committee.
I think Scott Frost's dream job is Nebraska. That's why I put the asterisk on it. Because okay. Nebraska, the job still isn't open at Nebraska. A lot of people are saying he could be the next head coach there. Well, of course, they could, of course, fire Mike Riley, but they're not going to do that until after the season. And quite frankly, if Florida's, you know, if Florida makes Frost their guy and offers him $5 million, he's gone. That to me, that I just don't see how you can sit back and say, no, I'm not going to take a top five job in the country. I don't understand how he could do that. So if Florida offers him, I just don't see how he turns that down. However, Scott Frost is somebody who, to me, has long, long been eyeing that Nebraska job and has positioned himself to be a coveted head coach. And maybe, look, he's a West Coast guy. Maybe he wants to go and coach out on the West Coast. Maybe he's not fit to be an SEC guy. Maybe he's an Urban Meyer type who's like, yeah, I'd rather go coach in the, you know, in the Big Ten. You know, right. I don't see that happening unless Florida has its sights on somebody else. Then this makes it easy for Frost because he can coach one or two more years and go take the job in Nebraska. But if Florida offers him, I don't know how I would be able to turn that down. And I certainly don't know how somebody like Scott Frost, who is a recruiting wizard and has this offense that is, you know, revolutionizing football at UCF. I don't know how, you know, he would turn that down.
Yeah, no, you get offered double the pay and go into the SEC, you break out that notes app and you decommit on Twitter. That's all you got to do. No explanation needed.
Dude, no interviews at the end either?
No interviews. Okay. And respect my decision. Okay, so let's put a timeline on this. Like, what are we looking at? Because generally speaking, in coaching changes and stuff, once the rumors start flying, it either happens quickly or it doesn't. But we're, you know, still like 4 or 5 weeks from the end of the season. So that kind of makes things tricky. So what do you think as far as a timetable? Like, do you think that they're going to come to an agreement before the season ends, or how do you?
You know, I think when Scott Frost says that he's committed to focusing on, you know, to the guys on the field and trying to finish this thing out with his players and you know, trying to earn the Group of Five bowl bid, you know, to a New Year's Six bowl, I believe him. I think his focus is on the field. However, that doesn't mean his agent isn't behind the scenes, you know, communicating with Scott Strickland and mapping out a deal. I would say if something is to get done, if Florida is to offer him a job, I think that comes within the next week, week and a half. And then I think he could then digest that and make a decision. I don't foresee Scott leaving prior to them playing in their December 2nd conference championship game if they are able to win this weekend, if they are able to beat USF, you know, in the season finale. I don't foresee him leaving prior to that. Could he leave prior to their bowl game? Yes. Especially given that there's an early signing period. But, you know, I can't foresee him leaving prior to December 2nd. Even if Florida says, we want you here prior to the early signing period, I think Frost would say, look, I committed to these guys. You know, if you want me and you want me that badly, you're going to let me finish out the season with my team. I could see that happening.
So who do you think UCF goes out the next after we take Frost from you guys?
Yeah. Who you hiring, Bass? Huh? Who you hiring?
Y'all want Randy again this time?
That's what we do on the show. We make hires.
We don't want Randy Shannon, man. He's old news. That's the funny thing, man. I don't know who they go after at this point, because Danny White, their athletic director who hired Scott Frost, kind of saw UCF as in a mold of a TCU.
I'll,
you know,
tell
he
you
said, look what they who should they hire? You give me the name.
I like, and maybe this is, I mean, it's not a lateral move, it's an upward move, but I think Jason Candle at Toledo.
Not bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
They've recruited the hell out of Florida. They've done a great job. He's been there for 7 years. He was the OC. They run a wide open offense. They do more with less.
They want to replicate.
And Marco Backwell's on staff. Shout out.
Yeah.
He always looking out for his friends and shit. He always do that shit. I never heard of you, Bass.
I don't know, man. How come you never heard of
me? I don't know, man. I have no idea.
Man, I got Josh sleeping on my couch and you never heard of me? What's up with
That's
that?
That's what
man?
I'm saying, man. I had no idea he had a friend named Ryan Bass.
Yeah, hey,
he's
sleeping
on your couch. That's fucked up.
Well, if you don't know, now you know.
All right. Because I don't hang out with y'all.
I'm glad you didn't say the last part, Ryan. You almost said the last part.
No, I didn't. I know what I was doing there.
Hey, just because I don't hang out with y'all doesn't mean I don't hang out.
I see.
No, me and I'm saying I hang out with Bass as much as I can.
You do. You do.
He's a big timer. He's on the boat. He's in Fort Lauderdale all the time.
See, you don't go downtown as much, man. You're big time now, man.
I live downtown. I live in the middle of downtown.
So do I. I don't see you. What's up with that? Ghosting.
Well, we'll get together soon. All right, Bass, tell the people where they can find your work. Give them your Twitter handle, anything else you got going on that you want to promote.
Yeah. I mean, I'm the sports director at the CBS station here in Tampa, so you can always check me out, 6 and 11 on CBS. And, yeah, man, on Twitter, RY_Bass. I'm obviously still writing for Knights 24/7 and doing all that and trying to give the people what they want, man. Perspective, fun, entertainment, and a little bit of breaking news here.
Sounds just like the big
thing. And did you follow me back, bro? I think I followed you. Did you follow me back, dog?
I'll follow you now when I get off the phone.
Yeah, don't follow me back, bro.
Kev's trying to get
it'll,
his ball.
It'll take me quicker than a Scott Frost touchdown drive. How's that sound?
Whoa!
I'm looking forward to it, baby. Yeah.
All right, man. Appreciate you.
All right. Thanks appreciate it, fellas. Y'all are great. Thanks for having me on.
See ya. That's my good friend, Ryan Bass.
He didn't know that was his audition for the Big Three roll-up when we get Berg up out of here after they lose Syracuse.
Yeah, I don't think Ryan Bass is going to fit the football
look. Hey, I tell you what, if Syracuse beat them boys, I am going to dress up like Dino Babers Saturday night. I promise
yeah,
you.
Yeah, with the
shit,
Sharpie
bro.
Hairline?
Yeah, I'm going to sharpen my hairline, and I'm going to fucking talk shit on Twitter live, bro. I promise you.
Okay. Just put on orange shirt.
For you, bro, for the culture. I mean, you called it, bro.
You should have gone as that for Halloween. Did you go as that for Halloween, or did you and your wife wear like matching onesies again? Some embarrassing shit.
I never wore. Hey, fuck you, bro. I never wore onesies. It's a two-piece, though. I promise you. It's a two-piece. I showed you. I sent y'all pictures.
I didn't.
I'm not open.
I sent pictures of the fucking pajamas, dog.
Yeah,
I didn't wear the onesie, dog.
I got it. You know, I don't want to die that on my.
I have a onesie. I have a penguin onesie.
You got a turnover chain shirt too, so I don't expect a whole lot of you out of your wardrobe, bro.
Childish as shit. Going to Disney every weekend. who we got next? We got any more guests or we done?
Let's get my man Five on. We gotta talk some Gator shit, man.
Jacquez Green.
That's right, baby. All right, our next guest on the show, our very first guest to ever come on the podcast, but we wasn't a big three roll up then. Gator legend, my man Five. Q, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. How you guys doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good.
So how you feel about the firing, man? We got rid of Mac. Some things happened pretty fast. How you feel about the firing? And where do you see this thing going with the next coach?
I'm really indifferent about it, man. I thought, you know, he at least would have had another year. But then again, he's fired now. So I think we'll be able to hire somebody, you know, who can take our program to another level. You know, hopefully we get somebody in there that can develop talent and that can move the football for us. Because the only thing we've been lacking in the last 4 or 5 years is somebody can get first downs.
Gotcha. So, I mean, the guys that they got on this board, I mean, University of Florida haven't put out a board, but all the media and what's circling around it and the rumors and message boards is Frost is the number one guy and a couple other guys. They have Norvell, Willie Taggart. How you feel about either one of those guys, and who would you prefer out of that group?
Those three don't really matter. You know, I know all three of those guys that have developed players over time. I know all three of those guys have scored points on offense. They all play up tempo style of offense, and hopefully just they can score some points. I think we got some talent on offense also, and we got some guys that can make plays in open space.
Gotcha, man.
Jacquez, man, this is Josh Newberg, and I'm calling. You know, I'm on the FSU side of things on this show, but this is a disappointing year for both teams. The Florida State game, we know it's going to be heated no matter what. Is that all these players are really looking forward to the rest of the season? How do you finish a year like this if you're on one of those?
I think with the uncertainty on our coaching staff and the fact that FSU may make some coaching changes, I think these guys want to play hard and play well so they look good into the eyes of the new coaches that are coming in, because it's basically an evaluation process for the last 4 or 5 games for a lot of these kids to see where they'll be at on the depth chart for next year. So I feel each one of them want to play well, so when the next guy come in, they'll have a chance to be at the top of the depth chart and a chance to start from a clean slate.
Yeah, I got a question for you. Just you're a football coach now, so you know what it's like being around these kids and stuff. What do you think of the way NCAA football goes, where like a coach like Scott Frost can just spend 2 years at UCF and bolt, or even the possibility of like Willie Taggart being one and done at Oregon? How do you feel about that?
It's crazy. It's crazy because the fact that the NCAA tried to make it seem like it's amateurism when it's really professional. It's really business. NCAA and NFL or whatever basically ran the same way. So if they stop acting like it's an amateur sport and let us know it's a big business, it wouldn't be a big of a deal. But since they try to pretend like it's an amateur sport, it's a big deal because a typical college kid cannot just transfer and be eligible. But a college coach can get up and leave whenever he wants to and be able to get a paycheck at a new school at the next year or the next day, actually.
Yeah, so if you were – so, you know, let's say, like, you know, Scott Frost goes to Florida. You as a fan or you as a player, do you look over your shoulder thinking maybe Scott Frost is going to leave now? Because he doesn't have real ties to Gainesville, you know? Or do you want somebody that's going to come in and be the next Steve Spurrier, possibly?
As a player, I really don't worry about the coach. I really worry about what type of scheme we're running. You know,
true.
Do I fit the scheme? A high school athlete should not pick a team based on a coach. They should pick a team based on how they fit within the scheme and their skill set, because a coach can get up and leave any time.
Yeah, but we know these kids, these relationships they have with these coaches, you know and I know that's what seals the deal. A lot of these kids are picking a school because of a coach.
And I try to throw those kids nuggets out on my timeline and show them and show them little tidbits. Coach John Reeves recruited me to the University of Florida.
Okay.
He just passed away, you know, rest in peace, Coach Reeves. But anyway, he left the next year and went to South Carolina. You know, if I was so tired of Coach Reeves, I would have been heartbroken and sad. But I knew that's a possibility. You know, I knew Coach Reeves was a hot commodity at that time, and a lot of people wanted him to go on somewhere else and rank Coach Spurrier's offense. So that kind of happened to me. And also, Charlie Strong left the first year that I got there and went to Notre Dame, I think. So there's some coaches, good coaches over time that have left school that recruited guys who left the next year.
Gotcha. So, I mean, you got to – I'm going to put you on the hot seat, man. You got to choose one, man. You got to choose one. Willie Tiger, Scott Frost. The third one, I'm just going to throw it out there. I'll go with Norvell. You got to choose one, man. I'm not going to let you off, man.
Justin Fuentes, Virginia Tech.
Man, Fuentes said he ain't leaving Virginia, man. He ain't on the table. That's everybody.
They all say that, though. They have to say that in case they don't get the job or in case –
The way Florida backed off, I think he meant business.
Oh, in the case that the way people interview for these jobs and the way things happen, they have to say that to protect themselves and their fan base in case they don't get the job. They have to come out and say, I'm not interested in it. I don't want the job.
Okay, go Fuente. Okay, Fuente, your guy, why Fuente over Frost?
Fuente has did it a longer time. He's did it at a higher level than Frost has. Fuente's resurrected Memphis. Memphis has never been good in football, hardly. Frost, UCF jumped in the major bowl like 3 years ago, so UCF has the players and stuff. They just need a breath of fresh air down there with Frost. Yes. Fuentes did it at Memphis, and Memphis had never won a football harlot. Then they went up Virginia Tech and had those guys 8-1, you know, after coming, falling a legend up there and Coach Beamer. So I think his track record and the way he runs the program can be sustained over a longer amount of time than just a flash in the pan coach who just having a good season.
Now, what went wrong?
I like Coach Frost now. But I'm just saying, like,
it's hard not to like Frost, baby. It's hard not to. When you cut that highlight reel on,
especially after what you've been watching.
Yeah.
After what you've been watching, you should want.
Hey! Not right now.
Yeah, you need to get in line, goddamn.
Chill. You got John Quinn on. You
can talk from the same project when I'm screaming from, bro. But yeah, I mean, what you think went wrong with the Mac era? What do you think they could have went different?
I think a lot of these coaches are running Alabama type style offense like Alabama players. We don't have no maulers up front to run through people. We don't have five big running backs who can run the ball hard and be physical. We don't have a single receiver on the side who can command double coverage, so you can't really load the box. And we also haven't had any development of our players. Our players never develop. We get a true freshman who plays, they never get better, or we get a true freshman who plays who transfers in 2 or 3 years. Some of these guys need the red shirt. I know it hurts, you know, to tell a guy he's on red shirt, but some of these guys need the red shirt. And back in the day when I played, you would always get like a junior or senior who's been through the program, who's developed, who turned to a good player his senior year and finally get a chance to play and contribute to the program. Nowadays, this year, you're starting back over like every 2 years with your talent at each position.
Well, now, I read that Spurrier approached Mac and tried to help him out a little bit with the offense, and he kind of shut my man Spurrier down, man. How you think Spurrier responded to that in real life, not what he reported? What you think Spurrier said to him?
He probably told him, and Coach Mack, you know, I got a couple plays for you. You know, I see this team run cover. I see this team run cover three. I'm going to tell you what we used to do against cover three. So I didn't know how Spurrier is. He probably did 2 or 3 plays that he ran in to defeat the particular coverage. And Mack probably was act interested, but really was uninterested when he left. And Spurrier probably knows that he never ran the play or never attempted to practice the play. So I don't know. If Coach Spurrier showed me a few things, I'm going to try to implement them now. It's not like he's trying to make wholesale changes on your offense.
Yeah, he's just trying to help you out a little bit. You can't turn down advice from the GOAT, man. He got a statue out front. You got to listen to him.
Exactly, man. He did go there at 2 different universities.
Yeah,
nobody
hold
that probably.
Nah, nobody. He hold weight around there, man. All right, man. So how you think the season play out, man? You think Randy can gather the troops? How you think we finish?
Randy going to end up as the next head coach? You going to win this job?
No, I don't think. What? I don't think.
Man, that
was
stupid.
I don't even think Randy want to be the next head coach. I think Randy probably has fun.
The feeling's mutual, goddammit.
Nah, Randy would take it. Come on.
He'll take it if you give it to him. But I don't I don't think he's out trying to be the head coach right now. I think Randy rally the troops.
He was playing Tom Petty at practice.
Yeah, he's not trying to be the head coach, Bird. This ain't Miami.
He was playing Tom Petty at practice. You know he's trying to be the head coach.
You think he was in charge of the Tom Petty soundtrack?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, man, he would have had cool in the game.
He ain't trying to be the head coach. Randy's just a cool guy like that.
Randy said, I got to get the boosters on my side. Play some Tom Petty.
Nah, man.
Who was that?
Randy Akula and the Gang guy, bro. He ain't playing
no. Who was that speaking just then, Silk?
That was Newberg. It's an FSU guy, man.
He sound like Chris Doran, man. just like Chris Doran. I know Mr. Horror is.
Live from the... Jacquez Green says all white people sound the same.
Yeah.
No, he sounds just like Chris Doran, though, man. He sounds
just
like
gonna be on the, that's just going to be on the ESPN
back in the end zone. Oh, man. So, anyway, yeah. But ultimately, do you think it's going to be Dan Mullen like I do? Just tell Silk. It's going to be Dan.
I don't know. I really don't care. I don't care who the head coach is. I don't have – I just go to the games. I cheer on the team. I hope they do well. If they don't play well, I get kind of mad. If they play well, I talk trash. But I don't have no say-so of anything that goes on in Florida, University of Florida. Yeah. I wish the fans would realize they don't really have any say-so that goes on the University of Florida. So I just cheer on. I support whoever the head coach is. Like, I just support whoever be the head coach. I'm going to support them until they show me they can't do the job. And then I'm going to talk about them, but I'm not going to talk about them and put it like that.
Right. I got you. All right. So you know, this is Chris Doring. I'm the FSU guy on the show. but I live in Tampa. You live in Tallahassee. Tell me, Quez, what the hell is going on in Tallahassee right now?
They mad. They've been mad at the defense coordinator for about 3 or 4 years now around here. They want him to go. They want Dulcy, the wide receiver coach, to go. And they want the linebacker coach to go take Miller.
What about Trigger?
They want Trigger to go now. Yeah. They've been talking about those names for about 2 or 3 years. Now they'll add Trigger to the list this year. I think Jimbo is safe for a while. I think Jimbo is a good coach. I think
Jimbo ain't going nowhere, bro. You see that five?
Yeah, Jimbo's a good coach. They got a
lot of
talent. They the same boat we are, and they got way more talent.
They're going to have to sell TCC. They're going to have to sell Guthrie's, Florida State, FAMU. Yeah. They got to sell everything to get Jimbo out of there, bro. The whole city going to have to get sold.
But you got to remember, last time, Florida State made wholesale change, they won national title next year. So anything possible.
Yeah, it's gonna have to get that bad. They're going to have to go through a dark age again, bro.
Hey, Jimbo's shown the ability to reconfigure his staff like he did after 2012.
Nobody ever did this.
He did it the year before they won it when he had like 6 or 7 coaches left.
Exactly. So I mean, you gotta give him a shot. You gotta let him do his thing.
Oh, look, they weren't that broke then. Yeah. They broke as fuck.
That was
the
year when Eddie Grant left and Elliott left and
James Coley, Damian Craig, Mark Stoops.
Yeah, there was a lot of.
They
left
hired Billy Napier for 4 days and he left to go to Alabama. I mean,
yep.
You know, Billy Napier left, and that's the only reason Tim Brewster.
Well, he better call all them motherfuckers back. Call them back, bro. Because you're going to need some mojo, goddamn.
But yeah, Jacquez,
getting weird.
This week, Jacob Pugh came out. You know, Jacob Pugh's a godly guy. Jacob Pugh came out as a senior and said that the locker room is void of leadership. I assume he was lumping himself in there. But, like, how does a locker room get so divided? Because in just 2013, 2014, when Jameis was there, you know, all those guys were coaching up the younger guys. So how does it happen? How does it unravel that quickly?
That's called losing. Whenever you lose, everything is wrong. Whenever you win, everything is right. It's just losing. When you lose, you go to work miserable. You go in the locker room miserable. Everything a person does is magnified. So really now, you know, they just look at each other and probably just point fingers like, it's your fault, it's your fault. And that's just a reason for losing. They have to win it right now. If we win, like, you know, the locker room is so divided or we don't have any leadership. That's just kind of losing. When you lose, everything is wrong almost in the eyes of, you know, people within the program.
Yeah. So do you think Jimbo will work his way out of it, or are you like Silk? You think he's washed?
Jimbo got talent. He got talent. It's a wrap for this year. But I think next year they'll be back. You know, decent, back respectable. They got some young talent, so. Cam Akers, like, he's going to be a football player.
How do you flip a locker room, though? How do you flip a locker room? Those guys are there 4 years.
They're going to lose a couple more games this year. Next year, I think, with Akers and Blackman, you know.
They might not win again, Five. I'm going to be honest with you.
They got Delaware State.
Y'all might lose that shit.
Listen, ain't nothing to win right now, bro. Ain't shit to win.
Yeah, but can't
hell no.
Coaching change, like if you turn over 3 to 5 coaches, which I think is going to happen, that can turn over a locker room, right?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, it can, but you in football you need talent and you need guys that can coach.
Well, the talent's there.
On the college staff, you got what 9 coaches? You got what 4 that can coach, maybe 5 that can recruit. So you want some type of balance in there. And I think with FSU,
this is my thing.
Bring some coach now.
This is my thing, Five. When you show up, because I showed up at a college campus as a freshman. When you showed up at a college campus, that sets the tone. Like, you know exactly what you're getting into your freshman year, that first semester. You're like, oh, man, this shit real. Or, you know, you can slack off a little bit in bullshit. Once that tone is set, it's hard to change that because you set the tone when these guys came in. This is what it is. I don't think anything
then you
changed.
Bring in new coaches.
But those guys still on campus. You gotta need new players too. Like you can't change.
No,
like,
you gotta break them. I'm saying the new coaches can come
break
on,
them
on in it.
That shit ain't gonna be easy.
You know? It ain't gonna be
easy.
It ain't
gonna be easy.
That's why they get paid the big bucks.
Marshall got so much talent, man. They gonna be able to bounce back. I'm not saying they gonna bounce back and be in the final 4 next year.
It's hard to be this shitty with that much talent.
They'll be the number one team in the state again by the summer.
Jesus Christ, bro. Get that shit the fuck out of here, man.
It's hard to be that shitty. It's hard to be that shitty with this much talent, Five. Like, it's, like, impossible.
Now, that's hard now. They got way more
it's
talent.
It's hard.
It is hard. I will say
it's
that.
Hard, it's hard work being that shitty with that much talent. Like, you got to, like, try to be garbage.
Garbage.
On purpose.
Garbage.
You think Jimbo sabotaging the team?
He got to be, bro. He really want to go to LSU.
Hell no.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, crazy.
Hey, Five. Hey, as a coach, man, what would it take for you to threaten to fight a fan like Jimbo did a couple weeks ago, trying to get a fan?
He was just passionate, man. He wasn't trying to fight. He was just running his mouth talking. And
you get that,
he didn't realize in today's age,
there'll be a random ass
microphones everywhere. Yeah, he was.
Hey, Five.
He would have got
it'll be a random ass plumber with real. Jimbo here.
Yeah, Jimbo Luck, he probably can't fight.
Nah, he can't fight. He's too rich, bro. He's going to be a plumber, dog, with real.
Yeah, and that dude have been drinking all day. Whoever he was talking to was TJ.
It was TJ. We've established it was TJ. I don't think TJ.
Hey, did you see the fight?
So he unemployed. He definitely beat Jimbo ass.
You saw the offensive lineman from the Raiders when he told the fan to come fight him on the internet? It'd be like,
yeah.
That's he got his car. I told the fan to come fight him, and the fan walked over to him on the highway about to fight him for real.
No, the fan looked like he was about to. The fan looked like he was about to risk it all, dog.
Hey, bro.
We had Crowder on last week, man. We had Crowder on last week talking about people who talk shit to him. He tells them to meet him over there by the Walmart on Griffin Road, man, Griffin and Powerline. He said, ain't damn one showed up yet, but he tells everybody.
Crowder was a wild boy, though, from what I hear.
Yeah, he was a wild boy, man. He telling some stories on there.
Yeah, you gotta go back and listen to his shit, man.
Go back and listen to that show. It's legendary. But, hey, you ever got into any fights with fans or, like, people on campus or some shit like that in the pros?
Parents.
Your
parents.
No, man. I'm pretty calm and cool, man. I don't be with all that fighting now. I talk a lot of smack and I don't back down, but it never been to a point where I actually got to fight someone, though.
You're not squaring up with parents after
who, the game. Who was the fighter in your era? Who was the guy? It's always a guy on the team just knocking people the fuck out, man. Who was that guy in your era?
Jamie Richardson. He's getting fight lost. I mean, they kicked him out of school eventually.
He got his ass up
out table, pool stick, shooting a gun. Like, he got in trouble for a bunch or something. He was there. He was a wild boy. That was my roommate, but he was a wild boy.
Damn. That had to be like... awkward as fuck. You chill as shit. He's just shooting shit and wilding out.
He threw a pool table. He flipped a pool table or something over the rail and down on the people.
God damn.
They couldn't get him on the field?
So, you know how much
he played 1 year and then he got kicked out the next. And 1 year.
You know how much a fucking pool table weighs, dog? You pick that bitch up and threw it over the balcony?
Y'all check on him? You may want to check on him, bro. What are you doing now?
He's good now. Remember, he ended up getting kicked out of school, though.
But
he's a bad boy.
Hey, what's up, man? Appreciate you for coming on, man. You're a hard man to get in contact with, man.
Man, I'm trying to win a state championship, man. We 9-0. One more game Friday night.
There you go. Let's go.
All right, win it, man. Close it out. Hey, TJ, we got to get my man Five some gear, man. Just fight back up and running. Yeah.
I want to put it on so I can flick it up and put it on the table.
There it is. Yeah.
Tag us in.
Yeah, I will.
All right, big dog.
We appreciate you. Thanks for coming on.
Appreciate y'all boys having me, man. Y'all have a good night.
See you too, man.
I'm just glad he didn't big time us again.
Five a hard man to get a hold of, man.
It's time with that state title, bro.
He was on. Hey, how close was he getting to being put on the Joe Shad list?
Joe Shad, he's getting close. Yeah, but Joe Shad, we've had a lot more leniency here.
If Joe Shad called me right now, I wouldn't go on his shit.
We got to have a little bit more leniency with Quez. I mean, he's already.
Well, Shad writes for the Palm Beach Post, bro. I don't even think he's going to beat that shit.
It's a pamphlet.
I don't think that's a thing anymore.
Who called it a pamphlet?
That shit is definitely a church pamphlet. three pages.
The Sunday edition is like three fucking pages, dog. So that's how I know.
So he probably makes
$30,000 a year.
After having Ryan Bass on, after having
I'm gonna give him a job.
What are you thinking about this coaching search? How you feeling?
I'm feeling like a motherfucking bullfighter, dog. Like I said, man, we want Oregon in the building. I think Frost is that guy. If I think worst come to worst, we end up with Willie Taggart. Like, that's the worst. Like, I'm good with the whole.
Okay, give me best case, worst case. Is Dan Mullen worst case for you?
I don't want Dan Mullen. That's worst case. I'm not going to say, like, he's a bad coach. I just don't want what he does. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's more of the same.
I don't want no. I want that bitch. Like, Dan Mullen going to get you big run plays and scheme some little bullshit here and there in games, but I want that shit. I want old ball coach football back. I want that bitch pitching around, up-tempo, scoring a lot of points, flashy shit. And the flashy guy, in my opinion, is going to be motherfucking Frost. If not Frost, I'll take Willie Taggart, because Willie Taggart, you already know what time it is if that brother come back to Gainesville, dog.
Do you
– It's a wrap.
Are you buying what Bass was selling on the fact that Frost is
– I wouldn't listen to the nigga. I just wanted to hear what he had to say, but I ain't really listen to him because I – like, if the bag come – if Frost offered his job and the bag is there, like, he's not turning this down. I'm not even buying the Nebraska shit because that's a dead-end job. You're never going to win big in Nebraska – and you're never going to get, like, a pro offer from Nebraska. That's just a dead-end job. It's us. It's going to be hard for him to turn down his bag, bro. And I don't see it happening. Right now, it's just whether or not
he gets offered.
Oh, he's getting offered. That's the number one guy. If they don't get Frost, that means they miss. I'll say that.
When do you think this all gets done by?
Oh, I think it's going to get finalized in the next couple weeks. I don't think it's going to go more than 2 weeks, a week or two. They try to move fast. They get the guy. I don't think he's going to leave UCF. I mean, this all been discussed a little bit. But I don't think he's leaving UCF. I think he's going to coach up. If they lose a game, all bets off. You know what I'm saying? But if they're undefeated, I think he sits there and plays those games. Of course, he recruits and does things with Florida as well. But he's going to be at UCF. I think it's Frost, dog. No motherfucking Dan Mullen. I told you that shit live on St. Mendes' Sunday, bro. Be respectful.
I was just throwing that out there. That was just my thoughts. I didn't say it was definitely going to be him.
It's the flagship, bro. No, you were definite.
No, I don't think I was definite.
Well, your sassy ass was definite as shit.
Nah.
You kept cutting me off. You're getting Mullen. You're getting Mullen.
I was throwing ideas out there.
You did say that shit a bunch, though.
I was just throwing stuff out there. All right, what do y'all want to do? You want to get Sherman or you want to get Santana Moss? What kind of question is that? Let's get Santana Moss on.
Man, get Sherm.
Fuck Sherm.
Get out of here.
I'm out of here, bro. I'll see y'all later, bro.
Yo, so we got our next guest on the line now, a friend of the show, been on, I think this is the third time, Santana? We got Santana Moss on, talk some Canes football.
What's good, fellas?
How you doing, man?
Man, I'm good. Man, I'm actually riding in the work like I did, you know, last time we had to talk, getting my show.
Hey, hopefully TJ doesn't sabotage this one and actually hits record.
Oh, he don't even...
Don't tell me that wasn't recorded last time.
No, yeah, so the Same Energy Sunday didn't get recorded, but the one that really made the noise, man, is your speech before the Florida State game. Well, who's going to be that guy? Who's going to be the guy?
Oh, I got you.
Man, you had Twitter was jumping, bro. Yeah, Twitter was going crazy. People were adding Canes football to have them listen to it before the game and everything, man. That shit was crazy.
Oh, that's what's up.
So last night the first college football playoff ranking, the rankings came out. Undefeated, they came in at 10. They have 5 1-loss teams ahead of them. Do you think that's disrespect, or you think that's about right where they should be ranked in the first?
I mean, you know, we Miami, man. So, you know, if anything they can never do to us is always, you know, don't show no love or show no respect. You know, hopefully that builds a little, you know, that adds fuel to the fire from those guys. You know, I think we've always been the underdog, even when we was the greatest or we was the best team. We always had to take the back seat because they just felt like, you know, I think the whole college football still has that in back of their mind that if we allow Miami to be the old Miami, we in trouble. So I'm okay with it. I'm not even tripping because I really want those guys to have something to really, you know, fight for and go out there and play for. You know, if they go out there and say, well, these guys are back in there, 8-0, 7-0, 8-0, and they deserve to be in the top five, then I feel like our guys have a chance to be complacent and think they have arrived. I don't think they have arrived yet. Yeah, they've been playing some good football, but, you know, until we start meeting up with some of these guys like the B-Techs and the Notre Dames of this year, then we really can really judge and see where we at.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to talk to you about next. Virginia Tech this Saturday, prime time, lights are on at the Rock. This is the time for them to make a statement to the country. How do you feel going into this game?
There's no better place to be playing at right now than to be playing B-Tech sitting at 7-1 and you having the season that you're having, been undefeated. It's no better place to be playing these guys than prime time, 8 o'clock Saturday night, when Miami going to be lit. The whole Hard Rock season probably is going to be lit. Everybody's ready to see this Cane team to really take charge of this season and show the world that, hey, they have arrived. I'm thinking, you know, these guys have to be pumped and geeked about this game. I'm geeked about it just being a spectator and just being a guy, being one of the fellow alumni of the school. But I just feel like it's perfect timing for this team, for the situation. And when it comes down to it, you know, I've been watching all these games, and some of the games I missed, and some of them I still, you know, get a chance to watch the highlights. I'm really still haven't been impressed with our offense. I feel like we have so much talent, but we sit and, you know, toy around so much until we really need something to happen, and then we find a way to make a play. I think that's the reason why we haven't had the respect from all of the college football when it comes to the rankings and, you know, the polls and everything, because they know that we haven't played our best game on offense. Defense might be top five, top six in the whole college football. So if those guys continue to play the way they've been playing and the offense can take advantage of some of these opportunities that they have in other people's, you know, red zone and just going chance and, I mean, I'm going there and put up points. The game. We haven't dominated the game yet because on offense, we sit out there and we turn around to where we're missing, you know, not even getting a field goal out of some of those key turnovers.
Yeah.
All right. So
hold on, Kev. I got a follow up. So, Santana, you said we haven't seen Miami play their best offense. Let's say we have. Let's say that this is the best that Miami can play on offense. Do you see this as a team that can win the ACC or, you know, even a team that can beat Virginia Tech this weekend if that is the best that they have on offense?
You know what? I know it's not the best, man. I honestly, God, I mean, I understand you want me to say, that's the best they got. No, I'm actually wondering,
like, if they have a defense that can carry this offense, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
The defense has been carrying them. So the results of all these games right now, the reason why they're at right now is because the defense has kept them into games. You know, like, yes,
we're facing some, you know, Miami's going to face some better offenses now. So
No doubt. And that's the thing I was saying. You know, one of the things that I truly believe about, if you watch everything up to this point, if the defense haven't played the way they've played, you know, in the last few weeks, then we might not see ourselves undefeated. And I really believe that, you know, if the offense go out there and take some, you know, charge of what they've been doing and not, you know, allow this defense to go out there and be making all the stops and not doing nothing behind it, then you can really see them play their best game. I just truly believe they haven't played their best football game collectively yet because the defense is basically has been number one since day one.
Yeah, so this is a big game. I think this is the biggest game of the season so far because, I mean, with the Coastal, Miami's never played in the ACC championship, right? So this game decides the Coastal pretty much. Miami can lock up the Coastal this weekend. So what are you telling the guys before they come out in the field without Josh interrupting you this time?
I no interruption and not much need to be said. You know, one of the things I would tell the guys is, you know, here we are again. You know, we in the same situation we was in going to the Florida State game. But see, that Florida State game was a little different. It was more about that childhood rivalry, those rivalries, you know, those backyard rivalries where most of those guys you playing across from grew up with you. Most of them guys, they are the same played as you at times because it's been that close. Most of our Miami guys go to Florida State. But guess what? This team here has no respect for us. They've always been, you know, found their way on top of us, regardless of what team has been here, what great Miami Hurricane team have come through these doors. We've always had trouble with VTech through the Vic years, you name it, through his little brother years, you name it. We've always had trouble with these guys. And these guys, we've seen these guys in the Big East and now in the ACC, and we still can't shake them. What you going to do about it? What you going to do about it? What legacy you going to leave on and remember yourself as when you played Florida State once and knocked them off and then now VTech? These guys won't go nowhere. So if you don't find a way to beat them tonight, you ain't going to beat them. Because guess what? They're going to remember that they still can play you and you can be their little brothers. Because that's how I feel. I feel like even when I played there, you know, for those 4 years, we hadn't beat VTech until my senior year. So these same seniors that I talked to or that I spoke at, because I felt like I was speaking at them, letting them know that, hey, man, somebody got to take charge. I'm talking to you again. It has to be burning inside you again. If you don't feel what you felt going into Florida State, then you're really not trying to be what I think you're trying to be this year when it comes to a football team and go out on top.
Tell them.
Show us, show the world that you're not happy. You're not satisfied with what you're doing right now. Show the world that this season hasn't been defined yet until you reach that destiny. And the only way you're going to reach that destiny is knocking off these Hokies.
Okay, so you said number 8, Braxton Berrios is going to be the guy. Who's the guy this week, man? Who's going
to
be that guy?
We need to know.
You know what, man? Offensively, man, I truly believe that, you know, I think, you know, when it comes down to quarterback, I'm going to tell you, it has to be him because he has the ball every play. I think Florida State game, yes, Berrios did just what I wanted him to do. But the quarterback has to get all those guys going this week. He has to go out there and find his targets early and often. And I think if he don't go out there and have the game that he should have, then we won't be able to put up points on this Hokies defense. So I'm putting the pressure on the quarterback. It's in his lap. It's on his shoulders. He need to be able to run with everything coach call. He need to be able to find the open man. I need to see him being precise with some of these passes. And I think if he does that, then you know what? He give us that chance. That's all we need is the opportunity. So you have too many weapons out there. You have a guy in the backfield that, to me, I feel like is the best, you know, second screen running back you can ever have, you can ever want. And then you have receivers out there that's hungry. All those guys hungry. I can name the numbers, 4, 13, 8, 81, you name it. You know, 82, you name it. All those guys are hungry. 23, you have too many weapons around you. Use them. Use them because you have them. So I think it's all on his shoulders. And I think if he goes out there and play the game that I know he's capable of, hey, we're going to look at another Hurricane victory.
Santana, this is Josh. I want to switch it up on something that you just talked about, guys that are hungry. But I think the first time we had you on right before the season started, I asked you about Florida State and complacency. And this week we saw and we heard Jacob Pugh, the linebacker, come out and basically say they're void of leadership in that locker room, of senior leadership. Have you been on a team that's void of senior leadership and how do you instill that in the culture after this season?
Well, in and out, brother. You're going in and out, brother. I didn't hear the last part of that.
What I was saying was, how do you instill a culture like that after this season? Like, how do you go to the team and say, okay, man, we need some leaders to step up? Is that something a coach does? Is that a player that makes that move? Like, how does a locker room change their culture?
First of all, it's never been a team I played on at the University of Miami that the guys who was in charge didn't go out there and show that they was in charge by how they played and how they practiced and how they participated or prepared themselves throughout the weeks. You know, it was leaders throughout every position. In every position meeting room and every position on the field, it was a leader. You can point him out by the way he played the game and by how serious he took what he was doing. So It should never be no coach having to come up and say, I need to see my leaders. I need to see somebody step up. Because if you're a leader, one thing you do is not always about the rah-rah. I don't like them leaders. Because them leaders be the one you punching them out, then you don't hear them rah-rah no more. I need to see a leader lead by example. If you lead by example, then I know you ain't got to worry about rah-rah, because you're going to be that guy. When everybody else go to rah-rah, you're going to be sitting right there, right behind me going, what? You're going to be the one sitting back there like, ready, let's go. Yeah, I ain't say nothing all day, but I'm ready to say something right now. So that's what I'm saying. I'm, them the kind of leaders we need. We need leaders that you don't have to come in my room, my meeting room, and say, who's going to step up? Who's going to be the guy that's going to lead these guys? Or somebody needs to step up, and somebody needs to go in there and tell these guys to do something. I see leaders all across that field. Mm-hmm. I see it because they lead my example. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not sure what kind of leader you're looking for. I think when you go out there and handle your business, then that's showing me that you're showing the others that this is what I do week in and week out. So this is what you need to follow. And so I see a few of them out there. So I hope they have a clue of who they true leaders is, because I see just from watching the game from where I'm sitting at.
How much does NFL draft status affect a leader? Because you look at Florida State, and on defense, you would assume that Derwin James and Tarveris McFadden would both be leaders of that team, and it sounds like they're not based on the comments coming out of the locker room. So do you think, and how does somebody's draft status impact their ability to be a leader? Can that kind of hurt them?
Not really, man. Draft status don't mean nothing. That's just what you're doing individually. That's where you land at. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? When you get drafted, that's where you land amongst everybody else in the country. But right now, right in this locker room here, or in this where we at, I only can be judged by the guys in the room that I'm in with right now. When I'm getting drafted, I'm judged by everybody. But right now, when we line up on the field on Saturday, I'm only could be judged by what I do amongst these guys. These my brothers. This is the people that know me. They know me the most, and they know me the closest. So these are the guys that I have to lead. I can't be determined if I'm a leader or not because I'm a high draft pick or a low draft pick. All I can be determined is how I act around these guys. What do I show them when it's time to lay it on the line? So draft status don't mean nothing, and it can't show you no leader or not. You know, that's like having Reggie Wayne. He was picked in the first round, but he was like one of the last picks in the first round. And, you know, you can't tell me it was 15 guys that he wasn't better than that guy that he got picked in front of. And you can't tell me he didn't show more to our team, you know, on a leader scale than some of those guys that got picked in front of him, because it doesn't compare. It has no comparison. So, you know, you can't compare draft status and compare, you know, should he be a leader.
It doesn't correlate
his draft status
all the time.
At all.
Right. Okay, back to the Canes, man. Back in March, Brad Kaya said something that I thought was crazy. Brad Kaya said, UM could have won a championship if I stayed. Do you think that's factual?
Nah. I mean, you know what? To be honest with you, I don't know. But the watching Kaya that I watched last year, would he have been able to play better this year with these guys? Who knows? I don't know. You're not there, so I can't give you that. I can't give him that. So, I don't like when guys toot their horn and feel like they're better than or they should, you know, be talking about themselves on that level, on that scale.
Maybe he should have stayed, though.
You should have stayed. Everybody wanted you to stay, and you didn't stay. So what you running from? You know what I'm saying? Because you wasn't finna get respected in the other level, you know, without having, you know, enough done on the level that you was on. And so I don't get why would he even bring that up. I just feel that Brad, to me, what he was missing is the escapability that the quarterback that we have now has. You know what I mean? This guy has found a way to prolong plays and find the open guy at times. Brad was missing that. Brad would get sacked time and time after again just because he was just standing still and taking sacks, couldn't move, wasn't mobile enough. And I think in college football, I don't need you to sit in the pocket in college football. That's not college football. College football, you need those quarterbacks that has a little mobility that they can get away and make plays on their foot when needed to. And that's
what you can tell Mark Richt needed that mobility in his offense.
No question. No, we couldn't do the plays we're doing now, those read options. Plays with the quarterback sitting in shotgun and Brad faking like he's going to keep the ball. We couldn't do that with Brad because he's not going to respect it. He's not going anywhere. You're not going to get anywhere when you pull that. So guess what? You're either going to give it to him or we're going to sack you. And that's how it was last year. That's why you can see the offense fail so much last year. I think he was great with some of the things that he did with his arm, but I just didn't think he stood well when it comes to the kind of offense that Mark would want to run with.
No, he was slightly more mobile than a telephone pole.
And that's giving him a little more than I would have given.
Sorry, Kev. This is I try to keep it sass free up until then. Sorry, Kev.
Okay.
All right, Santana, tell the people where they can find you. You know, your radio show, your whatever you got going on. Tell the people.
Well, I'm in the Washington, D.C. area.
We're nationwide.
I'm headed to NBC Sports Now to tape one of my shows I have come on Thursdays. You can actually check it through streaming on NBC Sports Washington. It's called Shop Talk, Redskin Shop Talk. I tape it every Tuesday. It airs on Thursdays. I also do a show called Redskin Overtime after every Redskin game. That comes on an hour after the game on NBC Sports Washington also. And what else? I'm missing out. My radio show, I'm on the Chad Dukes versus the World show every Monday and Thursday from 5 to 6:30. And we're talking the same thing, you know, Redskin football. So that's what I'm doing right now, man. I've been enjoying the process. I guess you can almost tell a little bit from a year from now, like from last year to now, you know, I'm getting better at what I'm doing because I'm doing so much studying now. I almost feel like I've been doing this thing forever, but it's great, man. I mean, coming away from a 14-year career in the NFL and being only 35 years old when I left the game, I couldn't see myself just sitting around. I wanted to be a part of the game a little more. So if I wasn't coaching, I thought the next best thing was talking football, and that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, man. And it's great that you found some passion in it, you know? I mean, doesn't sound like a job to you. It sounds like it's something you love, and we love having you.
I love it. Hey, man, that's why I love being on you guys' show because, you know, one of the things that I found out, anytime you get a chance to, you know, critique what you're doing, you know what I mean, take those opportunities. You know, you're never too big for nothing. I never been like that as a person, you know, with anything I've done in life, so why do it now? I love to be on you guys' show. Anytime you need me, man, just give me a ring.
We're always around. All right. Well, before I let you go on with your day, man, give us a prediction for Virginia Tech and Miami this weekend. How do you see it going? And the score.
Tough one, man. It's a tough one. You know I'm a king, so I'm going to stay true. And that's what we always say, stay true. 17-14. Tough game, brother. It's going to be a defensive game. Woo. I think our defense got to go out there.
Kev, you're going to sweat this one out again.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think our defense going to have to make a lot of stops, man, and really give us some, you know, give us the needed field position at times. But I think we put up enough points to hold these guys out. They're not no chumps. We can't sit here and have the luxury of having a backup quarterback out there playing. So, you know, we're going to really have to go out here and be ready. So I say 17-14, Kings win.
Love it. All right, man. Well, we got to get Kev on your NBC TV show. I feel like Kev's the breakout star of the Big Three roll-up, and we got to get him on TV.
Kev got to be on there, man. We have a segment where we get fans to Skype in, man. So
are they drunk when they Skype in?
Yeah, man. I got
some Redskins questions. Hey, I got some Redskins questions, man. You let me know.
Definitely, just give me a holler. Play this Sunday. We play Seattle this Sunday, so it should be a good one. I'm not sure how the Redskins gonna hold up with all these injuries we got right now, but it still should be a good game.
All right, Santana, man, we appreciate you.
Thanks, man.
Okay. All right, brother.
See ya. Have a great one.
All right, peace.
Yo, Cav, just call me your booking agent. Let me get 10%. That's it.
I just call into Santana. Just give me like a Kirk Cousins question. Is he hurt? I have no idea what injuries he's talking about with the Redskins.
Man. Just get in there. Start, ask one Miami question and then just start talking Canes.
I just start talking like we're friends. Oh, Santana, yo, you told me to call up, bro. What up?
All right, man. Good stuff with Santana. Let's just keep it moving. We going to do callers?
We're going to the show, bro. I'm going to be on the show. What is it called? Redskins Live or some shit?
Yeah, you got it. You're the breakout star. But let's get Sherm on. Let's get Sherm.
Let's go, baby.
Oh, Silk's back.
Silk's back.
Yo, we're back, and we got our resident gambler. We got Sherm on. Sherm, tell us about your shitty picks. Actually, hold on. You there, Sherm?
Yeah.
No. Speak into your mic.
I'm here.
Ah, there you go.
Sherm Jeezy, what's going on, baby?
Shit. You gonna let them know how bad it was, or you want me to do it?
All right, let's run it down. All right, so last week you were 2-3. ND and NC State, you had the under at 60. You hit Tennessee at plus 5.5. You hit on that. Stanford at minus 20, you missed. TCU, Iowa State over a 49, you missed. And you took UF plus 14, and boy, did you miss.
And if a Heisman candidate goes out of the game, like in Stanford, just don't listen to my shit. Just run, run. That was the key point of picking that motherfucker. And when Bryce Love went out, I had to get out.
So you were 2-3 on the weekend, and you are now 21-21, which is fitting for you because you're very decent. You're average at best. Sherm, let's hear it.
All right, yep. I'm gonna start right away. I'm gonna go right back to the well. I think Georgia's terrible. I'm not gonna play any games. I think we just played terrible. South Carolina's getting 24.5, and that's part
you're
of
about us,
how
sir.
Bad we played.
It's not about us, sir.
It is about us. You know, if that's the number one team in the nation, well, then I'm crazy because they're number five to me, maybe. Anyway, Jake Bentley's going to outplay Jake Fromm. I got 24.5 all day. I'm not saying they win. I'm saying I'm gonna pick up those points.
Yeah, I think Miami will beat Georgia right now.
Yes, I actually do, too.
Yeah, I legit think. I don't think Georgia that good. I just think we just a shitty team right now, bro.
But
it ain't about us.
It ain't. Let's leave it be. Listen. I'm just saying. I don't believe that they've been upgraded. I just think we just played horrible. But anyway, public, like I said, 24.5 in an SEC game's terrible. Let me go to the next one.
The boys got that news right before kickoff, bro.
Yes, they did.
Weird shit, dog. Go ahead, though. It ain't about us.
Wisconsin and Indiana. Indiana's 0-5 in the Big Ten. Their QB's questionable. Everybody want to have fun? Go to the injury report of this game. It's absolutely hilarious. The whole team for Wisconsin is on the injury report. I'm not kidding. Every single person. I don't know how to look at this. I don't even know how ESPN got a hold of this. It's actually absolutely crazy. Either way, both teams don't score anyway. For some reason, they got it at 49.5. Take the under in that one. I don't think either one's going to score. And Indiana can – their QB is the only thing that's making them score this year. The next one, I went with Tennessee last week. I'm gonna fade them this week, and here's why. I thought Butch would win. He didn't. For some reason, their defense was as porous as ours. He's gone, and they're doing this movement, Empty Kneeland. They're saying that the stadium's going to be – I mean, a ghost town. So I don't know. No, I mean, seriously. They have nothing to play for. They absolutely have nothing. John Kelly's back. It's just going to be slow. Southern Miss isn't a joke, and I think this is it. This is the farewell game. I'm 1-for-1 on these farewell things, so I think Butch is out. Here it is right here. I got Southern Miss. They're going to win. Take the 7. It might be coming down a little bit, so grab it as fast as you can. Here's my favorite. Here you go. Memphis is playing Tulsa. And Riley Ferguson, like I said, I love him. 23 touchdown passes. Their defense is terrible. But Tulsa is 2-7. And Memphis, if they win this game, things are going to get funny. And it's not about us, but I'm going to make it about us. Memphis will go to the championship game. Not to mention, I don't know if UCF will even beat USF anyway. But long story short, Memphis laid 11.5. They're gonna do Tulsa something dirty. And my last pick of the weekend is Michigan and Minnesota. People will be scared of that 15.5. Harbaugh found him one. I don't know. Did anybody see Brandon Peters? He looked like a Peter. No, I'm just joking. But, yeah, he did it. He did his thing. Yeah. He did his thing out there. The run game actually came back to life. And Minnesota's allowing a whole bunch of stuff. Row the boats just not happening. There's not boats on the lakes in Minnesota. So lay the 15.5. Let's go. And give me the Wolverines.
Okay, good stuff. One more. Handicap the UF coaching search, in your opinion.
Well, I'm not allowed to do that here.
Yeah, hey, sure.
You have to have me on as a special guest during the week for that one, Newberg.
Yeah, sure.
You know. I hate telling you. I mean, you're going to have to bring me on as a special edition with some good sounds and stuff.
But, sir,
we have you on as a special guest every week. What are you talking about?
Don't do it, sir.
Well, what I'll do is leave this.
Hey, sir, give it to your boy. And you're going to let Unk break this shit on Twitter, dog.
I'm hoping to bring it straight to the Big Three. Now, I want you guys to know I did actually – never mind. I'll leave it alone. I'll wait for another time. But I wrote Newberg about 2 nights ago on Twitter. He don't even fucking follow me. So
I had I DM'd him. I was like, hey, man, return Sherm's call, bro. Like, be respectful, man. The guy's on the show.
I didn't understand what
you said. Sherm who?
That's not even what you said. You said you go Berg, return Sherm's call. And I'm like,
Sherm who?
I didn't have this call from him.
Berg, I had a – yes, you did because I had it, and I just wanted to know if it was right. But anyway, I ended up picking up my phone. What'd you say?
How did you get my phone number?
Bro, we're in a damn Skype together. I can see everybody's fucking phone number. You're
did you call me from Alabama?
Don't I sound like someone from Alabama? Just because I don't have a shirt like DJ, damn it. Goddamn.
Berg, dumb as fuck, bro.
Call me on a Saturday night, Sherm.
You don't understand. Like, okay, so when Kev gets excited to talk to his people, Kev gets excited when someone comes on. I would be too. Shit, y'all don't let me sit around and talk to these people because I talk crazy. But I got a call and they're like, hey, you want to speak? Can you call one of your boosts? Blah, 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 blah. Whatever, it don't matter. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, there's a coach that's blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay. So I wanted to confirm, verify, do something. You know what I mean? But it's all right, bro. I see. And I actually figured this question you were asking me so you could hang up. So I didn't hang up right away.
No, I'm not hanging up on anybody. I was cranky this week. I went off on some people. TJ's friend Dewey. TJ, tell Dewey I apologize. By the way,
sassy ass bird. He went off on Dewey, dog.
I'm not telling him nothing. You tell him.
Just tell.
He's gonna listen to this shit.
He just heard it. Hey, Dewey, don't unblock his ass though, Dewey. Block the shit out of his ass, bro.
I the first time I ever seen Dewey was with the AC guy with the messed up shoes, and he was in a video where he was moving his head, and I thought he couldn't dance. I thought he was funny as hell. He looked like a baby. But I can hang with Dewey. Me and Dewey will get drunk together.
But anyway, I got drunk with Dewey at a tailgate last year.
I got drunk with Dewey.
Well, I apologize to Dewey.
I like Dewey better than like fucking Berg. I'll tell you that shit.
All right, hang up on me. All right,
if
go
we get
it.
Rid of Berg, we're going to bring Dewey on to replace his ass.
Yeah, Dewey's got my Rolodex.
Did Dewey go to UCF?
Does Dewey have my Rolodex?
I don't know. Dewey might fit in with me and Kev, though. He's about that life, though. He may just come on here and just talk about drugs.
Berg, we got your Rolodex now that we called everybody, bro. You got one.
Yeah,
TJ got my guys. Oh, TJ, I just put out a.
We can split time between TJ and Dewey, though. Like, you know what I'm saying?
All I got to do is put out a mass text and say, hey, I left the big three roll up. Fuck those guys. Don't
they
ever.
They like, well, shit. Show. Sorry to hear that, bro, but them boys cool as fuck.
Man, how'd they get you up out of there, Berg?
Who would the first guest you have on when I leave? Like, just as a big fuck you, who would it be?
Shit. We gotta make it personal, though.
Probably Clarence. Like, that'd be real personal, having Clarence on.
Yeah, Clarence would. But Clarence would come on, too. He'd be like, yeah, Berg's off, huh? All right, cool. Give me a call.
Hey, you know who we need to have next week, man? Because the playoffs start. We need to get Blue back on next week.
Oh, Bluestein, yeah. We do.
High school football playoffs.
Yeah, he was in it.
That's going to be dope.
Yeah, let's get Blue next week.
We out here, bro.
TJ, be a producer. Go book Blue.
Yeah, let's get Bluestein next week.
Produce, nigga.
All right. Let me recap Sherm real quick. We got he's taking South Carolina at plus 24.5. Wisconsin, Indiana under at 49.5.
Sherm, go.
No, I'm
Southern
right
Miss at 7. Oh,
what's up, bro? What's
be
up?
Be patient.
I thought he was
Memphis at 11.5. Michigan at minus 15.5. Those are his picks. He's sitting at 500. We'll see what he does next week. Sherm, I'm not going to hang up on you like everybody thinks I'm going to do.
Go for it. You deserve this wind up, but dog, too. I want to make you 3-5. Go for it.
No, you called me. I didn't even return your call. I feel bad about that.
Oh, they're not going to beat Syracuse, Sherm.
Yeah, they're not beat.
I said Sherm. He said, who is Sherm?
Hey,
though?
I got one last one before I run. If I pick one of the big three, they lose. That's also 0-7 on the year.
Really?
Yeah, I picked Florida. Okay. Remember, I picked against. No, if I pick against them or if I pick with them, they lose. The both times I picked Florida State against Bama, and then I picked them again, they lost. Florida, I picked twice and they lost. I picked against Miami once, they lost. Then I picked the over under with Florida and it lost.
How do you feel about Miami being a home underdog?
I love it. Hey man, I said I wasn't gonna say anything, but so I'm gonna tell them what I said. What I tell you about a day ago. What I say? You don't want to say it. It's all right.
What is it?
I think they got their swag down there, man. I don't really know what to say. Sometimes in like, you know, you got that Auburn 14 team of destiny type shit. It don't really matter what's going on. Tip balls, weirdo stuff, fourth down conversions, end of the game. It's just I want a fucking turnover chain. That's what I want if you really want to know the truth. I want to snatch the chain. I think the first person that snatches the chain is when they lose their swag.
Would somebody gonna run over to the sideline and snatch the chain?
I think it'd be hilarious. I think it'd be the best thing on earth. Their coach is in the end zone in Jacksonville against us. You think somebody can't snatch a chain? I think that'd be hilarious.
Bro, you gotta be you'd have to be the funniest motherfucker ever and fucking run up on the field and snatch that fucking chain, bro.
I think it'd be hilarious. I think it'd be one of the funniest things. If
they took that as a victory goal, I'll tell you that shit. I get him on the show. Yo, whoever snatches the chain, bro, can be on the show next week in my spot the whole time.
He's a player, Kev.
Bring that shit to my
And I got a thousand if you snatch it. All right, I'm out of here. Bye.
All right, good luck, Sherm. See ya.
All right, Sherm.
Hold it out, Sherm. Sherm's easy. Who's Sherm, baby?
Yeah, he go this Who Sherm shit again.
Yeah, but you did say call back. You said return Sherman's call. I didn't know what the fuck you was talking about either.
Yeah.
All right, back on the Big Three roll up, man. We got my man Don V, Virginia Tech fan, McGowan Twitter. What's your at, dog? What's going on?
I'm at VTZ from VA. All one word.
All one word. So how you feeling about Saturday, dog? My dog Kevin over here, Kel swagging over here, man. He got his little tacky turnover chain shirt. He ready to do some shit. What you think gonna happen?
He better tuck that goddamn chain, my boy. That chain getting snatched on Saturday.
You snatching that
Miami
chain?
Miami getting their fucking head opened up.
At home? You're gonna do it like that at home?
At home.
In front of all those tens
fuck
of
you
fans?
Mean? They gonna have 35 people in there. They gonna get their fucking head caved in.
So what do you think? What do you think the biggest mismatch for y'all that y'all got for Miami?
Fuente versus Rick. It's a fucking mismatch.
It's a mismatch. Okay, I feel you. You got a coveted coach right now. Ain't a lot about that shit.
Fuente versus Rick. Fuente gonna undress Rick again. We have fullbacks going on Miami.
Kev.
I muted him.
What?
Oh shit! I thought you left the show, bro. Man. You got nothing gonna say nothing back, bro?
No, I'm gonna say. I know this shit. I know this shit. We ain't losing that bitch on Saturday night, dog.
You losing, my boy.
Santana said.
Yeah, hey. Santana said we ain't losing that bitch.
You losing, my boy.
Hey, Santana says we ain't losing that bitch, dog. We ain't losing. Santana said we ain't losing.
Hey, Santana, I'm in the D.C. area. Santana can come see me personally. I'm in D.C. every day.
I'm gonna be
shit. Big Three square up.
Hey,
meet him at the corner of Griffin and Power Line.
Yes, hey, Griffin and Power Line, bro. All right, Don. So if y'all lose, when y'all lose, you coming on Sunday, have that same energy or?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a grown man. It's nothing for me to come on and say I was wrong. I respect, you know. The only thing I can do is talk my shit and help my boys back it up.
Hey, how did you get entrenched in the Big Three Twitter, man? You're like in Big Three Twitter?
Peach. I knew Peach before I was even tweeting.
Peach said we ruined Big Three Twitter. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's his opinion. I've been knowing Peach for a minute, though, and he just kind of like, I follow his followers and interacted with them, and how I got it.
It's Wild Wild West, dog. Yeah. You fit
What's
nicely.
Your Twitter handle? I'm going to give you a follow. What's
he already did that shit.
I didn't hear Virgo, what was it.
At VTZ from VA. All one word. VTZ from VA. Right. It's some retarded shit. But I'm from Newport News, Virginia, the home of Mike Vick.
Oh, I see it. Okay.
Home of Mike Vick.
I feel like I'm talking to the Spider-Man meme. Like Silk and this dude on the phone are like this. They sound the same.
Dog, you just racist as fuck. Dog. We don't sound nothing alike.
I said you guys sound the same.
We don't sound like at all. Yeah, dude from Virginia not gonna sound like some nigga from South.
I couldn't tell who I was talking to. I thought this
shut the hell up, dog. You racist as shit.
So you going to the game? Where are you watching it at? VTZ?
Nah, I live in DC now. I'm gonna be watching it at home.
VTZ, like making fun of you, bro. Don't answer this question, dog.
I'm not.
Hey, Don. Hey, where can people listen to your? What do you do, Don V Fridays? Where can people find that shit?
YouTube.
It's on YouTube. I do Don V Fridays every now and then when I feel like putting some shit out.
We going
live? It ain't live. It's just some shit I record and I just put it out for the people, for the football culture.
You got something going on this week? You got something going on this week for the game?
Nah, I ain't got nothing going on this week.
All right.
What's up, man?
Wait, hold on. I pulled up a Don V Friday show, and it's the dudes with the tiki torches.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. You know, Charlottesville. Oh, yeah. No, I had to speak on Charlottesville. You know, that's
okay,
my home
this
state.
Is August 16. Okay. I see. Oh, I thought it was the first one I pulled torches. Up.
My bad.
Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, nothing, man. But as far as Miami, man, they just going to get their head caved in. I just don't understand all this fake toughness.
I'm
going to hope
you this weekend,
fans.
Bro. I'm going to hope
we've been dominating Miami over the last 10 years, but Miami fans still talk down to Virginia Tech like we some goddamn, like
talk
we little brother or something.
Talk
we bust their ass.
So is that what it is?
Hey,
talk your shit, bro.
Is that what it is? Is that what it is? Miami to respect you? You want Miami to respect you, dog? You want Miami to respect Virginia Tech?
No, we'll beat it out of them. Fuck y'all respect.
Oh! Oh! Yeah.
No, that's what's like that. I think it's going to be a defensive battle, man. I don't think either offense is
I respect Miami defense. Quarterman is probably my favorite player in the ACC. That's not a hokey quarter. I respect
don't
Quarterman.
Say that, bro. Don't say you can't say that, dog. Y'all going to lose now. You shouldn't have said that.
Oh, no, not with that motherfucker they got throwing. I'm good with the motherfucker they got throwing. Come on, man. They couldn't even whoop Bethune. Come on, man.
Yeah, they couldn't even whoop FSU. They barely squeaked by.
Miami got the most talent in the Coastal. They can't whoop nobody.
Right? Worst team in 20 years, and they eke by.
Yeah, it says a lot. It is a 2-5 team. I don't know.
All right, VTZ, man. Be good. We'll get you on next week and see how this thing plays out. Good
man,
luck.
Sunday.
Okay, man. Thank y'all for having me on, man. God bless you. God bless y'all families. Y'all love your families. Love your people.
Appreciate that, dog. Hold it down,
appreciate
dog.
That.
Hold it down, dog.
See you Sunday. I hope you're in a good mood, goddammit.
He ain't going to be. But he's going to be here.
I hope you're in a good mood, boy, because... I am. I don't give a fuck what happened. I'm getting a coach.
Now, that shit's a wrap.
That's going to be my shit. Every time we come on this motherfucker, y'all got something to say to me. I'm getting a coach, bro. I ain't addressing shit. Getting a coach, bro. So
we good?
That's it. What we learned today?
Kev, what'd you learn? Bert?
What I learned today?
You want me to go first or you want him to go first?
Don't matter, dog.
What I learned today? I learned that Kellen Winslow's got a fucking assistant, bro. You got to call somebody to call him. Like, you got to call her, and she's got to call him.
That's some rich nigga shit, bro. That's rich nigga shit.
I'm down with that shit.
I told you, all I need is 800 grand. I'm getting a, like, driver. I get an assistant, a chef.
Dog, it's like Frank Lucas shit. It's like Frank Lucas shit. Nobody talks to me. You want to talk to me? You call the cousin. Cousin talks to me. I ain't never getting.
That's dope boy shit. It ain't quite the same.
It's not. It's the same principle though. Like I ain't really never gonna be on the phone with y'all, man. You got something to say?
But Frank Lucas is doing it because he don't want to go to prison.
No, I got you. Yeah, I got you.
I have no idea what y'all talk about.
I know because you like too extra, like Caucasian. It's American Gangster, dog. It's like the shit won a bunch of awards, like Bird.
What'd you learn today,
movie.
Silk? On the big three roll-up.
I learned that you lie about who your friends is, bro. That's what I learned, dog. You're a shitty friend. That's what I learned. Bird's a shitty friend.
I don't think I learned that just today, though.
Sheesh.
Right. Oh, shit.
Well, hey, fellas, you want to know what I learned on the big three roll up?
Not really, bro. Go ahead.
I learned that Ryan Bass applied the Chris Rock theory to Scott Frost committedness, meaning Scott Frost is committed to UCF only as long as his options are UCF. Because basically he said once that offer comes in, Frost is done deal. So.
And he almost said nigga, too. He did. He said, if you don't know, now you know. And he stopped. I was like, hey, yeah.
Yeah, we knew what he wanted to say, and he called Silver Brother.
Yeah, he did. With his wife. Yeah, he did. So I know that N-word was dead. If he was home,
No, no, a little bit. What'd you think, Bird? It's your friend.
Nah, he's good. Well, he's good. He's good people.
You heard, it's your boy. You know, I know you heard him say it.
No, I wouldn't put up with that shit.
Did he say it around you?
Hell no.
Tell the truth.
I got a black friend, so there's no way I would.
We're not friends, bro.
I thought we.
I just asked you this shit early on the show. You just said we were fucking on the show together.
Yeah, you're my black friend.
No, I'm not.
All right, who we getting on the show next week?
Bluestein, dog. We got to get Bluestein, man. We
got to get Blue. We'll get some ghosts. I got some ghosts. We're working on some shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking to my people. Talk to their people.
TJ, produce.
Produce, nigga.
We're out.
We out here, baby.
We are out here, fellas.